Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the ICC Holdings, Inc. Year-End 2018 Earnings Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call may be recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Ms. Julia Suter of ICC Holdings, Inc.
Thank you, good morning, and welcome to ICC Holdings, Inc.'s discussion of our 2018 year-end financial results. By now, hopefully all of you have seen our earnings release. If not, you may access the document on our website, which is ir.iccholdingsinc.com. With us on this morning's call are Aaron Sutherland, our President and Chief Executive Officer, and Mike Smith, our Chief Financial Officer. Following Aaron's and Mike's remarks about year-end 2018 results, we will open the call up for your questions. Before turning it over to Aaron, however, I would like to advise everyone that during this call there may be forward-looking statements made and references to non-GAAP financial measures. Any forward-looking statements involve risks and uncertainties that may cause actual results to differ materially from the statements made during the call. Information concerning those risks is contained in the earnings release and in ICC Holdings, Inc.'s most recent 10-K and 10-Q on file with the SEC. In addition, the forward-looking statements speak only as of today, Friday, March 15, 2019. ICC Holdings, Inc. expressly disclaims any obligation to update or revise these forward-looking statements that might be made during this call. This call is being recorded. In the future, the call may be accessed on ICC Holdings, Inc.'s website. With that, I'll turn the call over to ICC Holdings, Inc.'s President and CEO, Aaron Sutherland.
Thank you, Julia. Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to share our year-end 2018 results with you this morning. I am happy to report that the company's earnings per share improved by 38% in 2018. The company produced net income of 29 cents per share for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, as opposed to 22 cents per share for the same period last year. The company continues to produce positive top-line growth, with direct written premium growing 13.9% over the same 12-month period in 2017. Geographic expansion continues to be successful. Both Colorado and Ohio exceeded $2 million of written premium in 2018. Even in Michigan, where the company has just recently begun writing business, we finished the year ahead of projections with $690,000 of written premium through December 31st this year. In terms of losses this year, we did not experience any dramatic change in the by-state experience. The company did experience improved net loss experience in the majority of states. Some states did have deterioration in results, most notably Missouri and Iowa. The Iowa results were driven by a specific weather cat event, the Marshalltown tornado, while Missouri continues to prove itself a challenging legal environment. As a result, the company is adjusting its underwriting appetite in Missouri. While Illinois losses improved, the combined ratio was still in excess of 100%, primarily due to heavy competition within that state. In 2019, the company will focus on taking targeted price increases on certain classes of BOP business that have not performed up to expectation over the past 24 months. On a positive note, liquor and umbrella liability, along with workers' compensation, continue to generate a strong profit margin. In 2019, the company will be working to grow liquor liability as a percentage of the overall book of business. The company's position as a specialized insurance carrier for the food and beverage industry continues to provide growth opportunity. We believe that our strategy of consistent underwriting discipline, adequate pricing, and superior service, combined with a committed agency force, are the keys to long-term growth and profitability. With that, let me make a few high-level comments on our full-year financial results, and then Mike will provide additional detail. The company had a strong fourth quarter with a three-month combined ratio of 98.3 and earnings of $635,000. As a result, the company had net earnings of $893,000 for the 12 months ended December 31, 2018, compared to $708,000 for the same period in 2017. The combined ratio was 105.0 and 104.8 for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018 and 2017, respectively. Now I will turn it over to Mike Smith, our Chief Financial Officer, to discuss the financial results in greater detail.
Thanks, Aaron. Good morning, everybody. The increase in net earnings to $893,000 from $708,000 for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, compared to 2017, was a result of increased premium and investment revenue. Losses and settlement expenses increased by 7.8% for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, in comparison to the same period in 2017. Some of this was to be expected with the growth in premium and exposure. Otherwise, the increase in loss and settlement expense is primarily due to weaker business owner liability results. Policy acquisition costs and other operating expenses increased by 5.2% for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, compared to the same period in 2017. This increase was primarily driven by the growth in direct commission expense associated with the increase in direct written premium. Also contributing to the increase was an increase in self-funded employee medical expenses of $535,000 for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, as compared to the same period in 2017. Although total policy acquisition costs and other operating expenses were up for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, it's important to note that the overall expense ratio is down to 38.66% from 39.15% for the same period in 2017. Direct written premiums grew by 10.6% and 13.9% for the 3 and 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, as compared to the same period in 2017. Net premiums earned grew by 6.3% and 6.6% for the 3 and 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, over the same period in 2017. Net investment income decreased by $17,000 or 2.2% for the fourth quarter of 2018, as compared to the same period in 2017. For the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018, net investment income grew by $258,000 or 9.8% to $2,890,000 from $2,632,000 for the same period in 2017. The growth in net investment income for the 12 months ended December 31st, 2018 was primarily due to the ability of investing IPO proceeds for the entire year of 2018 as compared to a partial year in 2017. Total assets were $150,283,000 at December 31st, 2018 and $152,335,000 at December 31st, 2017. Our investment portfolio, which consists of fixed maturity securities, common stocks, preferred stocks, and property held for investment, decreased by 0.5% from $105,133,000 at December 31st, 2017 to $104,565,000 at December 31st, 2018. At December 31st, 2018, shareholders' equity was at $58,593,000 and approximately 3.3 million shares were outstanding in the market, leaving a book value per share of $17.74. With that, I'll turn it back to Aaron for some final comments before we open up for questions.
Thank you, Mike. Before we move to the question and answer portion of the call,
I'd like to leave you with some summary points. The company remains committed to profitable underwriting and is taking the appropriate steps to improve the BOP book of business and maintain the constantly strong performing liquor liability business. Though we expect premium growth to slow in 2019, the company remains committed to top-line growth and reduced reliance on reinsurance to better maximize capital and increase return on equity. The company expects medical expenses to return to historical averages and various efficiency initiatives to take hold in 2019, which would positively impact the expense ratio. We continue to maintain a strong balance sheet with conservative investments and adequate reserves. The strong capital position of the company provides a solid financial base for continued growth. With that, I thank everyone for their time, and we'd be glad to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, press the star, then 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. We ask that you please limit yourself to one question and one follow-up. One moment for our questions. Again, if you have a question, please press star, then 1 on your touch-tone telephone. Our first question comes from the line of Peter Chiappetta with Rock Island Investors. Your line is open.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for the call. I actually have two questions. One, I wanted to see about in the Q3 earnings report, you guys mentioned rate strengthening strategy, and I wanted to see if you could provide more detail as to what you guys are doing there. And second, wanted to see about the report that you guys were exploring the cannabis-based business and wanted to see how that's developing. Thanks.
Sure. Great questions. Thank you, Peter. The first, in terms of the rate strengthening strategy, what we are doing is looking at the BOP business, and there are two different strategies, one on property, one on liability. On the liability side, we're doing targeted rate increases on those segments of the market that we believe have hardened more and can take more rates, such as bars or restaurants with nightclub characteristics, entertainment, dance floors, et cetera. Those restaurants with food delivery, we feel we can get more there, and packaged liquor stores. So there will be some nuance within that, but those are some of the main areas where we're targeting that. On the property side of it, it is a little bit more of a risk selection and a focus on getting more buildings written on ACV, actual cost cash value basis versus replacement costs. So we think we can get a little bit more premium to risk exposure that way, more than flat rate increases on the property side. We are already pretty strong rates, and we just need to put more of our efforts on loss control and risk selection on the property side of business. Does that answer your first question?
Yes, thank you.
And in terms of the cannabis, there has not really been any new development since our release. We are still in a research phase. We are researching the product needs of that class of business, as well as the regulatory and other business risk challenges of writing cannabis. So that is still in the research phase.
Great. Thanks again.
Thank you.
And once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star and then the number one. Our next question comes from the line of Scott Hollerman with Redwood Partners. Your line is open. If your phone is on mute, please unmute.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I appreciate you hosting the call. My question is with regard to the balance sheet. If you could please explain sort of how you see the strategy in terms of current capitalization. And I know you had the one buyback in 2018, which increased book value per share. Is there anything else planned in that regard? Thank you.
Yes, in terms of the balance sheet, we recognize the fact that we need to get premium in line with the equity level and get ourselves to the proper leverage position. We recognize we're a little over-leveraged right now. We want to do that responsibly. In this business, it's very dangerous to go out and get growth without maintaining underwriting discipline on it, so we are going to be disciplined, but we are trying to achieve it through geographic expansion on the top line, and we still have a lot of market growth that we can do in those new states we've expanded into, such as Ohio, Colorado, Michigan, and so we expect to get more top-line premium out of those states. We also plan to retain more of the premium, lower our effective rate that we're ceding off to reinsurance partners to basically take more of that premium in and avoid the cost that the reinsurers embed into that, which would give us better more premium leverage to capital and more opportunity to retain the profit on the business. So that's on the premium and the leverage side. In terms of stock buyback, we have announced and put out that we are approved by our board of directors for another $3 million in stock buyback. We, just as we did it before, we do have standby investors that we give the first opportunity to, as disclosed in our original S-1. So should we move forward with that transaction, it would go the same method as we did the first time. And I don't really have any more update or comment beyond that.
And thank you. I'm not showing any further questions. So ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This concludes today's program. You may all disconnect. Everyone, have a great day.